Hello, everybody, and welcome to our nutritional endocrinology open coaching. Which call am I on now? Our nutritional endocrinology open coaching call. And I'm here to support you guys in whatever way you need. We could be doing patient cases. We could be doing marketing stuff. We could be just going over labs. So whatever it is that you want. What we're going to be doing for future calls moving forward, hopefully starting next week, we get it implemented, is we're going to send you in your reminder email, will be a link to click that you can say, yeah, I'm coming and I do have a question or I have a lab I want to upload. And that way, when I get on the call, if there's a bunch of people who have labs they want me to look at, it's all going to be in one place and all I have to do is click. So it's going to save so much work. We're definitely going to do that for the case study ones, but I want to do that for this one too. We're also going to be putting that in place for our ERC people as well, because it's a struggle when you don't know. And I'm like, oh, I want to be efficient with your time. I don't want to waste your time, but I'm all over the map trying to find your stuff. So we'll start that hopefully next week. I need a team about twice the size as what I have, because it's like I'm always getting ideas and that's the way it goes. Actually, I'll share with you one idea that I was just popping around. Actually, we met with a guy who does apps like iPhone and Android and, iPad apps. And Jane Guyette introduced me to him, and we've been talking about getting all of our forms put into an app and then being able to communicate with people through it. And so he's going to send me an exact proposal, but I'm excited. But he also said what we could do is set it all up so all my forms are there, so you guys could pay them a small monthly fee, kind of a membership fee to use it, and you'd have access to all the forms they set up for me. So you wouldn't have big setup fee that I'm going to be putting into it to get it developed. Because that was an important piece for me. I said, well, I want it to be easy for the practitioners to be able to go, oh yeah, I like all that stuff. I get the app and I can sign people up, and you can sign your own people up under the app. So it would be branded as Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. Anyway, we're looking into that. So if that's anything anybody has any thoughts about or requests about or ideas about, just let me know today. All right. So who has questions, comments, cases you want to share, successes you want to share, struggles you're having, ideas that you want to share, talk about? Susan, you made a face. I don't know what that means.
No, I'm just a tad in overwhelmed. But it's good overwhelm.
But it's good overwhelm.
With everything, with the ERC stuff and all that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to ask tonight, but I'm here to listen for the moment.
So is there something in particular that feels overwhelming? Is it the paperwork? Is it the, what is it? We've been trying so hard to streamline and, really document well, as opposed to here, take these people and do with what you want with them. And then you go, huh, what am I supposed to be doing? Like Pamela's on the phone, Pamela Nebs. She was in the very first year that we ever did this. And that was pretty much what it was. Okay, we're going to do these groups kind of thing. And you're going to get a group and everybody gets a group and then meet with them and help them. Here you go. So that maybe not overwhelming, but frightening to say the least.
Yeah. I feel the weight of the responsibility. And then just, just getting through the tech stuff, just learning new computer stuff is just, it's a challenge.
Like Google Docs and things like that, Like Google Docs and?
Yeah, Google Docs, Google Drive, okay. Excel spreadsheets, which I have really stayed away from intentionally all these years. Right, just silly things like that.
Yeah. So it's, and once you start using it, you get comfortable with it.
I know.
It's like anything new.
It's just intimidating, initially.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. I'm glad that you're doing it, though. I think it'll be a great experience for you.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Cool.
It's a good thing.
I see Janet just came on. Hi, Janet. You have anything in particular? She always has such a bright presence, right?
Yeah. Well, I can agree with Susan. The process is a lot, and the coaching.
It was my first time last year, and I thought I was going to be a helper bee, and I ended up being the lead, and that was a little shocking, but I had a very easy group. I have six this time, and that's like, wow. Whoa, six. But Michelle Gamble is with me, and
that's a great combination. Michelle is really...
Yeah, and she's tech savvy.
Tech savvy too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she FaceTimed yesterday, and her... Quote, she says, "Hey girl, we got this." So yeah, it's going to be okay.
And even if she doesn't have it, she jumps in and figures it out. She's not going to go, "I don't know how to do this." She's just going to jump in and do it. So
yeah. The pieces that she doesn't know, I do.
The coaching.
Well, the first time the first time is easy because everyone's just getting to know each other and. Yeah. And visit, and the second time is easier, except my first call, Rita Marie, is in the middle of our session on the 19th in Austin.
So,
it's a third.
Call.
And Wednesday was a good day for all of us, and I just totally missed it. So, Michelle and I are looking about contacting them to see if we can set the time back further.
What time of day is it? Is it the end of the day?
For Central, it would be 4:30.
Yeah, so.
And we're not due until 6.
Yeah.
So if we can move it, see if Michelle thinks that's okay, or she can run it herself.
There you go. She'll get what you got last year. Here we go. I'm just coming in as a helper, and now I'm running this. She'd be able
to. It's one of those things. Every other time is fine, but this one just crashed into itself. So
it might be as easy as moving it a little later, right?
Yes.
You figure give yourself a chance to finish up and have dinner and, do it at 6:30 or something or 7 o'clock.
Anytime after 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find a corner and do 6 o'clock. So, or she can start it and I can jump on. So we'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
It will work.
They'll be fine.
Hope things work out in the end. And if they don't work out, it is in the end yet.
That's right.
He said to me, everything works out in the end. And if they haven't worked, it hasn't worked out yet. It is in the end yet.
Yes, it's not the end. And Susan, Lynn Rose, you're doing it too. I didn't always get all the forms in and I forgot to record sometimes. And Dr. Rita Marie didn't call me and tell me I was really bad or anything. So don't.
Well, this year it's going to be different.
I tried. And we all do the best we can. And
we simplified the form process because the form was you had to go right. So it's just go to this Google. The Google forms are so friendly. They're pretty. And I mean, even just the look of it is, less intimidating than the Infusionsoft form. And you just have to go there. And then on the Infusionsoft form, you have to just click, third call, done. Fourth call, whatever. It's real easy.
Yeah.
Right. And you can write your notes in the other form where you can, I don't know, you can put carriage returns and it doesn't throw you out of the form and submit it. I mean, I fall in love with them and I created my very first Google form last week. And now I've created about 10 of them since. And I was like, oh, let's just create a Google form for that. Oh, let's just, it's so cool.
Yes. So, well, anyway, good. So I'll get off so somebody else can talk.
Who else wants to talk? Who else has a question, a celebration, a concern, anything at all? A progress, Annette? Annette and I had a
progress. Marie, this is Eva.
Eva, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm not feeling really good right now, so I'm kind of in bed. But I have a question for you about the master tracker. Mm-hmm. Is there any way there is a date where people enter their stuff? Because I'm new to it, so I know that there is some information that is like 2016, but I'm not quite sure what I'm looking at. Where Annette and I were going over a case today, we didn't really know how old the stuff was. So is there a way?
The date in the, so you can probably tell by some of the spots, every place doesn't have a date because it's not necessarily dated information, their goals and their values. Who is it? Who's it for?
It's Sandy with 2 E's H. Sandy.
Probably old. So what you can do is go into the,
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Go into the lab report one.
Okay.
They're all dated.
Right.
And see what they put there, and then see if the coach she had before had been taking notes in the tracker thing, the appointment tracker, so you'll be able to tell. And then the supplements. Like, if you look in there and the dates are all old, it's probably old. I doubt she's redone it.
Mm-hmm.
A call with them tomorrow to teach them how to go in and use that form.
Okay.
Keeping our fingers crossed. Some of the new ones have already gone in and loaded it up and they're ready to go, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if there is a way, maybe, like, if we're going to add information, maybe we can just
Put your date. So if you're going to put put the date. And I can mention that to them when you put the date, put it in, just put the date. Because you can't put a date on the whole form if they're adding stuff. It'd have to be on individual entries. And some of them aren't entries. It's like their goals or their visions. That will change, sure, but not as dramatically as, say, symptoms.
Okay.
And on the symptom one, the symptom timeline, there's dates there too. You're supposed to put the dates in there as, you know, you just figure it out.
Okay.
But yeah, we can ask them to. And if you edit stuff and add to it, go ahead and put a date. Does she have the report filled in? This time we're going
to
talk about
No, she actually has to. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow with her, that she needs to do some, complete some of this information for us.
Right. So, and then, but I meant in terms of there's a form in there for the report of findings. Okay.
Right.
If there's
right.
anything in that report of findings, that's supposed to have a date. And if there's anything in that report of findings, it means it's from last year because that's what the coaches fill in. So once you talk to her, you go there and you say, this is what I want her to do. This is what we think is going on with her. And we probably should show them how to make a duplicate of it because if somebody did it last year, we'd want a second one. So if you, Annette, do you know much about spreadsheets? I mean, you go to the bottom and you just double right click and you mm-hmm. say.
Yeah. And the little arrow part, if you just click on that part that has an arrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see it. I opened it up. Right.
Yeah. Right click that. And it'll give you the option to make a copy of it, duplicate it.
Okay.
And if you duplicate it, you can actually name it in the, like, you can go back and rename the one and put the date in the tab.
Yeah. Or just ERC 2017, ERC 2018,
right.
or mm-hmm. something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We were concerned that if we were adding that it would delete some of the other stuff, and we didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
It won't delete unless you overtype it, right? You have to go into the cell and
open the cell,
and then copy. And then you can just put it in there. But if you don't do that, then it could override it. You're right.
Right. And we didn't want to, you know, cause that to happen. And like Eva said, there was sometimes we could figure out, I guess I should do this. Sometimes mm-hmm. we could figure out the dates, but some of it was just like, okay, whatever. We just.
What kind of forms were they that was on?
We actually looked at almost every tab on there to be.
And did she have stuff in almost every tab?
She had a lot.
Who is it?
Sandy. Yes, Sandy with an E.
Double
E.
Sandy.
H.
I call her double.
Yeah, well,
we don't have the two. We have two Sandys and a Sandra, right? So
Two
of them are in your also.
I have Sandy, and Susanna. Mm.
Yeah.
I got all the S's.
Susanna. That's
funny.
Okay. Well, I will say tomorrow, starting about 4:00, I had put the poll on the FNC Facebook group, but I think what I do, because I drop my daughter off for dance at about 4:00, and then I go over to the library, I'm going to put this on the Facebook group, but I'm just going to be there at 4:00 to work with people.
Whatever stuff and go over whatever they
need. Yeah, and it'll be a working, like, if you're having issues with spreadsheets, we'll
screen
spreadsheets out and screen share, and we will do this. So
and we're
I will
hoping
be
that this new app thing is
going to
gonna replace this. So just when you learn it, but I talked to him today, and he said, "Oh yeah, we could have it done for you by October 1st, which means probably January 1st, and if you know software people, right? Oh yeah, no problem. We'll have it done for you by October 1st. I'm like, we're halfway through September. How are you going to have this done by then? I doubt it, but it could, but it'll take us a while to figure out how to actually use it to replace the stuff that's in
there. Right. The one that really confused me, it was the original form that's the health history, past, present, and future.
Yes.
And that's the one that doesn't have a date anywhere. And we had to really dig because it was 225 was a weight. And then we were looking in and it was a different weight. So I was needing to figure out which one it was.
There could showing. Be, I will have to look at that one, Lynn, because there's supposed to be in every one of those forms is a date field that defaults and it automatically gets filled in with the today's date. So if that
now, is this on the spreadsheet or the form?
Yeah, well, this is not necessarily a spreadsheet. It is a spreadsheet, but
it's what they sent, right? It's what they filled out.
It's the master, I think, but it's a master health tracker for Sandy. And it's where it says the health story past and so on. I have her name.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I have the date of birth and her height and then the current weight and just her goals that she wants to have.
All right. So we'll look at those forms and see which ones would warrant having a date on it.
Right.
Or maybe even a date like to the side of, I don't know, because there's individual forms if it would make sense, but we'll look at that and see if we can. Do that
here. Yeah. And also know that you should start seeing lots of forms populating if they didn't do it already. Because I've been uploading a lot of like everybody that has submitted what it used to be called the Seven Pillars scorecard. No, it's the Body Freedom Foundation scorecard. So everybody who's turned that in is in there along with their getting to know you. I've started putting in the hormones and glands and the ones that are essential. So,
okay.
And then
well,
the
those
other,
are the only ones we've asked them, and I'm going to explain to them tomorrow. I'm going to sneeze.
Choo.
Excuse me. I'm going to explain to them tomorrow that really, and I've done this in other emails, but you know, they get overwhelmed. It's easy to get overwhelmed, right? So I'm going to have them just what they really need to do before they speak to you. That's what I'm going to, that's the whole focus of the right. call tomorrow. If you guys want to be on it, you're welcome to. It's what time is it? 10 o'clock tomorrow? 11 o'clock tomorrow?
It's noon. No, that was last week. Tomorrow it's at noon.
Noon. Yeah. Okay. And that's the, how do you prepare for your private coaching call? And I'm going to go through with them, you know, what they can fill in, but all I really need them to fill out, because you don't want to be overwhelmed with them filling out all their forms. Like, somebody we know, you know, Jay would do or other people that are really, they fill out all of them. And then they're like, well, how come you didn't go through that form with me? Well, we have an hour and a half and we need another hour and a half to be able to go through everything you filled out. So we really want them to fill out the getting to know you, which all of them have. And if they haven't, they weren't supposed to be assigned a coach, but I think some of them slipped through. And then there's the body freedom. And then there's the hormone and gland and the body system. And then the nutrients. So those are the ones we want them to fill out because that gives you a rounded picture. And then I want them to take those and just put those scores on that scorecard thing. So as you're glancing through, you can tell like just by the color what the big things are that are up for them. And then you can go and you don't have to look at every single answer in those questionnaires. But what I usually do, this is how I do it. Somebody submits all the stuff. I'm looking at transfer the numbers. I'm going, wow, they really have this problem. Oh, whoa, this is a red. Let me see what questions they've answered this way to see what really is going on with that. So I'll look at bleeding from the rectum. Holy cow. That's a little bit more weighted than constipation, right? So that just gives me an idea of what kind of stuff's going on. But if they have a yellow or blue and it's not as high priority as the other stuff, you don't have to look at every single question. Right. But those kinds of things that you're going to want to ask will come up just because you're naturally going to be inquisitive. Right. So tell me, it looks like you've got a lot of stress going on in your large intestine. Tell me a little bit more about that. What's going on? Are you constipated? Are you, you know, you can ask some of the red flag questions anyway. Right. Are you bleeding? Right. What's going on? And that will help you. And if you follow the guidelines that we lay out in your history taking, like, you're not going to ask every question in the history-taking thing. It's like, this question will lead to, I've been depressed my whole life. I've been depressed since I was 4. You're going to want to look at, if they've filled out that neurotransmitter test, like, what different symptoms they're having there. So you don't have to sit for 4 hours as they, you know, tell you everything, but you want to get into when did this first start? What was happening in their life in that year that led up to it? And what, once it started, what happened? What did they do? Did they go on medication? Did they get shock therapy? Whatever. And then what happened after and what's their progress? So you'd hone in on that. And honing in on those top symptoms, the top complaints, is important. That's why I laid it out the way I did. And it transfers to another form so you can just fill in. When did it start? And you can at a glance look at that. Well, I will tell you how much time that saved me. For 15 years, all I did was take notes. I should show you some of my charts. They're like this big. And I just take notes. And I go, what did he say about that? And what did he, and I know he said something about, and I'm flipping back through all these scribble paper notes, right? So that's why I wanted to lay it out. So now for me to get prepped for somebody's call takes me less than 5 minutes. Because I can go in and I can look and I can glance, oh, and what did we do last time? Oh, and let me see the supplements. Did he add any of the stuff I told him to add? Let me look at the to be added. Oh, they're still there. That's something I'm going to ask them. You know what I mean? So it helps you to stay focused instead of having to wade through this thick, you know, 4-inch thick stack of papers. Is it the best system? Probably not. It's just the best I've come up with.
Oh, no, it's very good. I think it's very organized and, you know, several different people can go and look at it and it's all there. So it's mm-hmm. really, yeah.
And that makes it helpful for us to be able to offer the program at different price points so that they get the group, they get the privates, and then they can have me individually for whatever number of sessions. And then when I'm going in there on, say, one of the golds that you've met with, you know, if you have a gold and you've been meeting with that person, I can glance through and see what you've been doing with these new Google forms, because I can see it all in one place. And then I can be up to speed and not be duplicating and see that Annette just told them to go get a whatever glucose meter and start testing and start, you know, doing this. And I don't want to duplicate that. And I also don't want to tell them something that's counter. You know, if she had an idea of doing it in a certain order, I don't want to tell them to go in a different order. So if I can look at your plan and go, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Everything's in there. And then I'll just proceed with them and they'll get the best of everything. And everybody gets to benefit. So that was the whole idea.
These are good tools. I mean, I know there are those that are on the call that aren't, at this point, they're not a functional nutrition coach with us. But as you listen, I personally am hoping that you will get ideas about how you can use this in your own business. Frankly, I've been using Google Forms with my own business. The first time I used it, I created, was last year. It was on what is your food style? And so I had questions, like I think I had like 10 or 12 different questions. And so people would answer them and then it would populate a spreadsheet. I sent it out to my email list. And so then as they answered them, it would populate it. And because I don't have a big list like you do, I could go through and look at each one of them. And then I just emailed them personally saying, hey, it looks like, you know, you enjoy some of the Ayurveda, but add in the macrobiotic and just started that conversation.
And let me just take that a step further is you did that, started that conversation and then you mm-hmm. can off, you know what to talk to them about, what their big exactly. problems are, to say, I have this program. You'd be really great in my $20 yep. a month membership site.
Yeah, wow, I actually got a few in there like that. Yep.
Right. And so that's it's a great marketing tool as well mm-hmm. to learn this stuff. But you don't want to do, you know, the 50 question questionnaires for a marketing tool. You'd keep it to 10 questions or something like that. But
yeah. Right. It wasn't huge. I mean, because I knew I'd have to answer each one of them. Some people set it up so that, and I've seen you do this, where you choose these ones and it automatically calculates.
Yeah, that's a different software that will calculate for you.
I don't have that kind of...
Well, it's actually a simple Word plus $79 WordPress plugin. It's actually quite easy. And you just tell it, oh, these questions are related to this and these questions are related to that. Sum them up. And then whatever that total is, you just put them in a different sequence and infusions. It's actually quite easy. It's not real sophisticated. However, there is a capability for those of you who don't use Google Forms. I recommend you go play with it and just create a pre-session form. Create a form that you want your clients to fill out. I gave I announced the ones for the Practice Accelerator, and Annette got the first dibs at it. And so it's like, okay, here's your pre-session form and a post-session form. So before the session, it gets them focused on what they really want to, what are their wins, what are their problems, and what do they want to focus on? Because there's people who will come in, and they're the la 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 happy people, and they just focus on their celebrations, and they forget to tell you that they have these challenges. Then more commonly, you have these people who are the Eeyores that are like, you know, walking around like everything's bad, and they, as soon as you get in the call, the energy goes down. Anybody ever have one like that? They get in and they're like, I tried this and it sucked, and I tried that and it didn't work, and you know, I need something else, and right. And if you focus them before they get in on filling out that form, and it says, tell me some of your successes. What did you do that you wanted to do this week that worked? What are some of the things that didn't work and you want to work on? Anything else you want to say? And then you can take control as soon as you get into that call, instead of letting them go, instead of saying, how are you? Do not lead a coaching session saying, how are you? Right? Because if you do that and you don't know, you're not pre-framed as to what was going on, they may start to dump. And sometimes it's that negativity and the inability to actually see the bright side that's keeping them sick, you know? So you don't want to encourage that. So when you ask them three little questions before their call with you, and you go, wow, Mary, I'm so excited for you. You went gluten-free for 2 whole days. That is so amazing. And you gave up sugar for 3 days. How do you feel about that? And they're suddenly going, I thought she was going to yell at me for that. I told her I was going to do it for the whole week. I thought, you know, so they're feeling like, wow, okay. They're feeling good about that. Do you know what I mean? So if you do that and you know in advance, then you don't waste a lot of time and you don't get them down there, oh, me, I was trying, it was really hard thing. You're celebrating with them. And then you go, wow, it looks like you had a struggle with this, going out to family meals, you know, seeing your mother seems to be a big stressor for you, and you stress ate for 3 days after that. Wow, you know, and it gives you an idea of how to work with them instead of having it be blind. Of course, you want to work on your plan, and you want to, if you were planning this week to talk about their joint pain and how fats have a big thing to do with it, and you wanted to help them, you may get derailed because they're not ready for that. They still need to review what they did last time. And I don't know if Tony's on the call, but Tony gives me the ultimate of this. She says, I start everybody out. I got to get them up to speed on water. If they're already drinking.
She's just coming on. That's actually who just called me.
She'll say, all right. Yeah, you're not drinking enough water. You're drinking enough water. Great. Congratulations. We're going to move to step two. You're not drinking enough water. Here's the thing. Here's why it's important. Go drink this water. They come back next time and how you doing with the water? Okay. And then she works with them on what the challenges were and how to do it, and then gives them that again. And they're like, after a few visits, like, are we ever going to do anything but water? Sure. As soon as you master water, we're going to move on. Right. I want to overwhelm you. And she's very good at, I'm throwing those words in her mouth. She may not say it that way, but Tony, if you want to come on and share. But I think it's great, right, to keep them to the things. Who's going to get well if they're sitting around drinking no water? They can't solve their problems if they're not hydrated, especially if they're toxic, right? So, and if they're eating sugar all day long out of the sugar container, that might be something you're going to start to get them to substitute, right?
Yeah.
Stevia, just eat stevia out of the thing. Let's do something to get, you know, your system in balance. I'm throwing out, this is a joke, but it's really important that you control the conversation, because I've been in those situations where I let the patient control the situation and go down their agenda, and it didn't serve. I mean, I learned to be firm and say, this is great, and here's what we need to do next. It just made a whole big difference in how the outcome was and how the relationship was. And at first it's hard. Steph, is she on? Steph did that last year with one of our ERC people. And she finally said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't help you. We've been working on going gluten-free. You have a gluten sensitivity. You have the genetics for it. You have a gut issue. You got to get off the gluten. And we've been talking about this for 9 months. And all you keep worried about is the spaghetti recipe that you can't figure out. I can't work with you. I'll give you your money back. And she said, no, I really do want to work with you. I do want to work with you. And she started working with her.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm sorry, I'm not walking. I just left a call that I'd done. So I only heard part of what you were saying, but I I think what I'm understanding is that meeting people where they are, not overwhelming them, but holding them accountable. Yes, that's what I do.
Yes.
I do.
Yes. And I was talking about the water example that you gave last year. How, yeah, if they haven't mastered water yet, we're not going to move on till they have.
Well, my understanding, based on my wonderful training from you, is that I can't help people really get well if they're not doing the basics. So we do not skip the basics. We do not.
Yeah.
So chewing food, drinking water. We talk about what the problem is about drinking water, and we develop solutions that make sense. So some people have to set an alarm on their phone because they're not accustomed to it. Or some people may have to
pouring out the big bottles and making sure they finish them all by the end of the day, right?
Or they don't like the taste of water, which is amazing to me, and we have to put lemon or something in them.
Essential oil, right. It's solving that problem instead of just making them, because they even feel like a failure because they can't do something so simple. But if you can help them actually figure out what's keeping them from doing what you want to do and help them to do it. If it's something as simple as, I just don't like the taste of it, and I keep going back to my Diet Cokes. Oh, well, did you know that medicine flower has a cola, or whatever it is, stevia has a cola flavor that you can add to your water? Oh my God, right?
Right, and as a final thought, and I'll let you continue to lead, is that the good thing about the basics, as you all know, is that once they start drinking water and they see that they're having regular bowel movements, or their breath doesn't stink as much, or their skin's starting to look good, you've got them hooked.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for letting me chat. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for being an inspiration. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why we keep track of that. So I would encourage you, I'm just going to challenge all of you to just go out to Google. If you don't already have a Google account, set up a Google account. Most of you have a Gmail or use a Google Calendar or something. And I would say go there and go to forms and just set up your first form. They have templates. They have pretty backgrounds you can choose from. And just set up a form that asks them, what are the three questions you'd like to know every time you're going to start with somebody? Like, so that it's going to get you guys starting off on even keel instead of having them ramble. What are those questions? And then just play with it and do it. Right? And you'll see, oh my God, that was so easy. Because it is. It's really, really easy. Right? Yeah, I'm a geek.
And just like we work with our clients, though, it's a basic, right? If you find yourself kind of going, tensing up, and your breath is real shallow, your stomach is clenching, just like you teach us, take a deep breath, go, huh, what is happening? Why am I anxious about this? And just use it as a teaching tool, a teaching moment. Mm-hmm. Again, I know you guys are probably tired of hearing the story that I tell about when I first started working with Dr. Rita Marie. I had no idea what Google even was. And she asked me to do something, and I was like, okay, Google, what is Google? And all of that type of thing. I just did that. And so just use it as a way to find out what's going on. And it's the same thing, though, with our clients. If, as Tony was saying, if they're having an issue or coming up with excuses for not drinking water, have that conversation.
Yeah, it's really important to have that conversation. And sometimes it's surprising what you unearth.
Yeah. Yesterday I was talking to somebody who's having gas and bloating, and I just don't understand. I'm doing all these things, and they were thinking way high thinking, and what it came down to was chewing and swallowing air, and chewing too fast, because, and this goes back to the stress and everything, they ate a lot on the run, so they're like gulping, even though it was good food, they're still gulping it, and they weren't.
I will tell you a question you can ask them.
Mm-hmm.
That they will be surprised when you think that this is, this is something as obvious as chewing. You say, do you ever see visible pieces of food in your poop? I want you to watch. And they go, oh yeah, I must have bad digestion. I mustn't make enough stomach acid. No, 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 no. It goes a little bit before that. You got to chew it. Because if you don't chew it and it breaks down, the stomach doesn't have teeth. It just mechanically breaks it down, and it breaks it down based on the surface area that's exposed. So if you've got a piece like that, maybe it'll be able to break off a little bit off the edges of it, right, chemically. but you can't break down a piece of broccoli in your stomach. It just doesn't happen. It only happens in your teeth. So mechanical digestion, chemical digestion, right? And then absorption. That's the three pieces of a digestion that we teach. So that's a really easy question to ask to find out if somebody's chewing. Do you ever see visible pieces of food in your poop? Oh yeah, all the time. I must have bad digestion. I'm going to give you a trick. Right? Chew it. And if you can't chew it, you don't have time, throw it in the blender and let the blender chew it for you. And then drink it slowly. I mean, I will drink my smoothie this way.
Yeah, you're supposed to drink your food and chew your liquids or, you know, something to that effect. You know, but yeah, right. Even if you're doing a juice fast, you still go through that process of chewing.
Yeah. Yeah, so these are just some basics, but I think a lot of us, because we're in this, we're all geeks, we want to know more. We want to know all these fancy tests we can do and these fancy supplements and recipes we can give people. But in reality, we have to get them down to those basics, right? And it's boring, so you can sneak in a little bit of something else, right? So as we take the ERC people through once a month, we're going to go through a pillar and they're going to go, well, this is too slow. I can't do this slow. So we're going to sneak in every week in their newsletter some cool food they can try or some cool herb they can try or a specific recipe video to watch and play with. So giving them stuff so they feel like they're doing it. And then, you know, as they meet with gold coaches, they'll work on labs and more advanced stuff. But so many of them, it's just really a matter of that.
And for any of us that are we're all coaches here, mm-hmm. whether it's coaching ourselves or coaching our friends and family or having this as a thriving business, people really like challenges. And even if you just, like you said, give them one new food a month, say, well, your challenge this month is to use basil, you know?
And, well, I love that. That was what Trina and Annette did.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought of it.
Two or three foods and say, your challenge for this month is to use these three foods and then post pictures of what you made to the Facebook group.
Yeah,
and I love that. If anybody wants to steal it, Annette, you're not going to be upset if they steal that idea, are you?
No, not at all.
No,
well, I just see lots of challenges out there all the time. People are doing challenges
online. People are doing the 5-day sugar detox challenge, the 3-day push-up challenge or whatever. So we give them a challenge and we'll have a challenge of the month and we should do it as a group maybe. Maybe that should be once a month in the newsletter we give them a food challenge.
And then each month we can have a recipe.
Yeah.
I've got a question on blood chemistry.
Sure.
So while Eva and I were talking today, I went on, the blood chemistry software and I was entering Sandy Double E. I was entering her information. And I was surprised there was nothing previous.
Well, probably is on our end.
Yes, well, because you did a report in 2016. Right. So is there any way to get this together so that she can have before I was like this and now I've improved. And this
so you're saying because they went into theirs.
Yeah, so I log in with your account and so it's in our account. So the
but we should make a process for this year that when we're doing ERC folks, we put them in because you can see everybody's in there, right? If Lynn puts it into her account, you'll still see it, right? They're shared. Yeah. So I think that would be a good thing to do.
For elite people, I would imagine I'm going to run into it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you see a blood chemistry software report in their folder, and you do not see it, it's because, if you see.
We didn't see.
Does it say who the practitioner was that ran it?
You, yeah.
Okay, so that means it was through her. Okay.
So, but I didn't see that you had done that till after I created for her and entered it. So
so there is one in there for her that was under Lynn. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Just a report.
Because I ran it through your account. Right.
Yeah. So is there any way to get what you did and what I did together?
We would need to call support for BloodChem software and say, can we merge? This is what happened and we want to merge them.
And for any elite people, because it's nice for them
to, nice see. To see it. But you can also do that in the master tracker. Too.
Right.
I mean, you can just see them side by side.
Then we got okay. The difference between the urinalysis and blood work, because she put numbers from her urinalysis as blood numbers. So, like her blood numbers are really wacky and we figured out it's because she entered, you know, because in the urine, instead of being like 10 to 20, it's, she has like 3,000 something, something.
What did she get to urine test?
In the master tracker, you'll see. She on the blood work, the part that we got has no CBC on it, and yet she has blood numbers in there, and it matches what came from the urinalysis part of the test.
Oh, so she had blood in her urine.
So
white blood cells and red blood cells. That's not a good sign, actually. Yeah, so you need to take them out. You can always add it to the bottom. I mean, the whole thing was set up for the regular chemistry. But
you might want to let them know it's different because she entered that part.
Oh, she entered it. Yeah. Okay. That's well, a good
and we can do that, or you can do that tomorrow on that preparation call.
Right. Absolutely.
But yeah, for the elite people, if we could have their blood chemistry. And from now on, Lynn, I'll look first. I learned.
Every opportunity, every mistake or, you know, blunder or, you know, whatever is an opportunity to learn.
There. Yep. You either win or you learn.
No. There you go. Like that. Win or learn. Yeah.
That was Tony who showed me that one.
Yeah.
And then you win again after you learn.
After you learn, then you win. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. How do you think I've gotten to where I'm at? I mean, I've made lots of blunders and learned like, ugh, that sucked. I'm going to do this differently this time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Anybody else have questions or comments or cases or anything interesting they want to talk about? I'm going to do a shout out for Michelle Gamble. She just did her interview with me yesterday for her Healthy Child Summit. If you don't already have the link for that, get the link from her and share it with your friends and sign up for it. She's got this amazing thing planned and her passion makes me cry. I rewrote your email, by the way, Michelle, the one that we're going to send out to talk about your passion and it just made me tear up. Her passion for this is coming from her own pain, right? So that talks about that whole, you know, you win or you learn. She learned and now she's trying to teach others so that they don't go and have that same kind of pain situation as she had. And the interview was great. She's a marvelous interviewer. She knows how to bounce from question to question, but stay on task with what she wanted to ask me. I've seen a lot of I've been interviewed by a lot of people. And I've been interviewed from a lot of people who have big followings and some of them are not very good interviewers. Some of them are great, but some of them, and she was up there with the best of them. So I just want to commend you, Michelle, for that and for all you've done and for, she's got a little trailer. I'd absolutely go. My email is going to have the link to the trailer and in addition to the link to register. And if you go to the trailer, she'll tell you how to register. But if you could put that link in there, Michelle, because it was very touching. To watch the little 5-minute trailer that she put together. Very touching. And it's, you know, not just if you have kids, but if you know kids, if you have grandchildren, if you have nieces, nephews, students, right? Friends who have these people, it's really important to see. But it's also a statement about the state of our healthcare system, not just about what's happening with these kids. That's where it's devastating and heartbreaking, but it's happening to adults too. The lack of proper care. So yeah, thank you, Michelle. We're doing a solo email tomorrow, Friday, and then we're going to do another solo second one just to our people who have always, I told you about that list I have, Tony. No, I'm Michelle, the list that clicks on summits. So we tag them every time they click on a summit link. So if I have a summit that I'm not sure about or I want to promote a second time to and I don't want to bother the whole list, I just send to these people who always click. They don't unsubscribe. They just click on every summit. So it's actually a very targeted list, even though it's just small. So we're going to send to that list on Sunday and tell them that my talk is tomorrow. It starts tomorrow and all that. So where are you? She's not even coming on. Is she here?
I I also wanted to, because I was talking to Michelle about what she's doing, and to me, the one underlying thing she's also promoting is the idea of community and what community really is. You know, they talk about it takes a village to raise a child.
She says that a lot in her video trailer. Yep.
Right. It's it takes a village, but it's all of us. It's all of us without judgment, helping each other, being there for each other, lifting each other up. You know, who is your neighbor? Who is that person that's right beside you? And having that conversation doesn't mean that all the conversations will be unicorns and rainbows and all that stuff.
Right.
But it's that's how things, that's that ripple effect. That's that pebble when you approach somebody. And
true. There she is. Please come on so we can honor you and celebrate you. There she is. Everybody, send Michelle lots of love. She's the summit starts on Monday. She's done an amazing job. How many people? 25 people or something?
Yeah.
A lot of people to interview.
And a lot of people have contributed, from musicians to artists to medical doctors, researchers. Just tremendous, the outpouring. And what I was telling Dr. Rita Marie yesterday is that none of them asked me about lists. You know, they read my email and they said, I just want to be a part of this. It's an honor to be a part of this. And that really means a lot, because I told, they were like, oh, but you know, do you want to know anything with commissions and affiliate links? I said, it's not about the money. It's about getting that message out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what Lynn was sharing about community, it's absolutely true. You know, I think in retrospect, you know, as I listen to a lot of different speakers, I listen to the lawyers, and I can see different things that I could have done differently. And that's what this is about. It's about making people aware, because we live in a society where we're afraid to talk to our neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, I was afraid to say anything to my neighbors, afraid to share what I was doing. And yes, you know, there is that real fear, you know, but,
right,
but the reality is that even though I didn't share things, that made it even more mysterious to people and more, you know, woo-woo or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just important that we be courageous about what we do as functional mm-hmm. nutrition coaches. And yeah, there are going to be naysayers, and there are going to be people who want to mm-hmm. to attack, and yet there, I want to believe that the majority of people have the best interest of our children in mind, and yeah. they just don't know.
They don't know. Ignorance is really huge on this front, right? And they don't know that there are options besides, you know, yeah. feeding your kids Twinkies along with their Celebrex or something or their Ritalin, right? It's like, wait a minute, we can get rid of the Twinkies, and you know what? Then we probably can get rid of the Ritalin too. And they don't get it, because they have been brainwashed. It's very strong and powerful what the drug companies have done to people. It's very powerful that they think that's it, that there's no healing inside of your body. Like, what does food have to do with healing? Even in spite of where we've come to over the last 30 years that I've been in this field, that it's distilled so much ignorance. And the more we open it up, the more it happens. Because even I had a funny thing happen to me. I've been in this women's group for 19 years, since my youngest was a year old. And every year, you know, we go and we do this stuff. They know what I do. And, you know, I'm the wacko that comes and brings her own food and doesn't drink the wine, eats my own stuff. And, you know, and they ask me, and a couple of people have worked with me, but most of them think the ones that work with me and me are kind of wacko. And so this one woman writes, you know, she was having some trouble and she was going through menopause and how miserable it was. And she writes in, I just discovered the Whole30 diet. I'm off of gluten and dairy and sugar. I'm like, way to go. I could have saved you 19 years of struggling.
So we have I put in the link for the trailer. Yes. And actually on Saturday, we're going to have a launch party where we're going to be releasing our commemorative documentary. And it is extremely powerful. It's a mother telling the story of when she found out that her child had died from Adderall. And it's just amazing. And even as she was weaving out the story, she started talking about, you know, if only I had known, because she was saying how she had told her son, yeah, today we're going to go to the store and we're going to get you those double Oreo cookies that you love so much. And then at the end, she said, if only I had known that something as simple as sugar, you know, was adding to what was going on with my son. If only someone had told me that if I had done this, maybe things would have been different. You know, so she shares her story and it's extremely powerful. And then we transition into our very own Lynn, where we're talking about people who do stand up to the system. And the fact that when we stand up to the system, there is that possibility. And that's why it's so important to have community. And we end with the fact that Lynn was able to be reunited with her son. So we want to give people hope and aspiration to not fall prey to the fear and the sense of apathy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, to get to that film on Saturday, to know about that, if I send people to register. Friday, they'll know to come. And is it something I can mention in the
email? Definitely. Yeah.
So, okay, just send me some words about it. So I can write it properly.
I'm actually going to send that out.
I'll do it in the PS. When you register, you're also going to get access to this full-length documentary, One Mom's Tale of,
I'm sending that out on Friday morning. And that's in terms of to all of the different presenters so that they can also share that with their community.
Okay.
And then I do Facebook Lives, and I've also been promoting it with the Facebook, whatever it is, you know. I still don't know how effective that is, but we're trying everything.
Try it. Yes. Well, I saw you wrote one, then I did have to take this line out of the email, and it said something like, and this event is going to be huge. It's going to be promoted to over 10,000 people. And I'm like,
ooh, I have that in there?
And I'm like, I'm promoting it to over 100,000 people myself. So I took that out.
Okay. I don't even remember I had that in there. Okay.
Yeah. It was in one of the, it was in like the second.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yes, I took that out.
I'll look forward to seeing your copy when you send it out.
It's quite different. It's just, it's from me. It's very personal.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very personalized from me.
Thank you.
They were proofing it before, and they'll get it out on Saturday, Friday morning.
Yeah. And, you know, just want to invite everyone, because like I said, it's just phenomenal, the amount of people who are participating and on all different subjects, from numerology to hardcore genetics, you know, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, good. Well, good job with this. You've done a great job, and you don't seem all stressed out, so that's really cool.
Oh, I just go with the flow at this point.
Wonderful. Thank you, Michelle, for all you're doing. It's beautiful. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Anybody want to say anything to Michelle? And check it out. Absolutely. Click the link she gave you, and on there it'll tell you how to get to her, how to get to the registration page. Definitely do it. So, yeah. Cool. Anybody else? There's a few things on here. Fear of being vulnerable and being seen. Who has never had that feeling of fear of being vulnerable and being seen? Has anybody never had that feeling? Has anybody had that feeling? Like, yeah, they're going to see me, and then they may not like me, right? They may not like the real me. And in reality, the real you is what they want. And there are going to be people who don't like you. There's always going to be haters, every single one. And if you don't have haters, you're not making a big enough impact. You're going to have a lot of haters, yeah, because of what you're saying and what you're exposing. And that's good. And a lot of times the people that come back and criticize, those are the ones who it really struck a chord with, and they're feeling wrong for the decisions they made. Oh my God, I did this with my child and I did that, and they're feeling guilty. So they want to make you wrong so they don't have to feel wrong. It's very common. So we all need the haters, as much as it hurts. Just go, oh wow, I'm getting up there in the top of the list there. Some people are taking the time out to hate me.
Yeah. And also to give people a word of encouragement, whenever you feel that someone is going to attack you, just remember why you're doing it. For me, I'm doing it for the kids who can't speak up for themselves.
Right.
You know, they're the casualties of this war, and it's up to us who know better and who are bigger, literally and figuratively, to speak up on their behalf.
Yeah.
They need us.
They do.
We've been silent for too long.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Michelle, this is Eva. I just wanted to tell you thank you for what you're doing, because I have actually been on the other end of it with my younger daughter that I believe for in middle school they started to, you know, pump her full of ADD medications. And because she couldn't learn, she couldn't just focus, she couldn't do anything. And I knew it wasn't the answer, but I didn't know what else to do at the moment. I mean, she was already eating a correct diet, but I just said, you know, this is just not possible. None of this, you know, I think I switched like 4 to 5 different medications in the first semester of her fifth grade. And I mean, it was watching her from being a zombie to being aggressive to, I mean, she was oppositional, and I mean, no one really could figure out what exactly was the issue until I went to a doctor that specialized in different testing, and she was diagnosed with PANDAS. Mm-hmm. And it was a journey, you know, it was a journey because I had to get medical accommodations for her. And I mean, now she just went to college. She's in St. Ed's in Austin, Texas, and she's struggling with one topic, but it's, you know, it's a long haul for parents and, you know, the vaccinations and what you need to do and what, you know, the issue with children bringing lunches and being laughed at and what they eat. And I mean, it's a whole entire thing. I remember when she was 10 months old, and well, she was 10 months old when I had to chew her food for her when she was an infant because she had no enzymes. She wasn't digesting anything. Okay. And when they gave her vaccinations, because I didn't know any better, then diagnosed her with screaming child syndrome because she wouldn't stop screaming. And the doctor, I said, what am I supposed to do with her? Because I just, you know, as a young mom, I didn't know any better, and no one has educated anybody, you know, 19, 20 years ago. And I remember Bex was walking out, and I said, what am I supposed to do with her? You know, I don't know what to do with her. You need to help me. So he kind of pushed the door with his leg to close it, and he said, give her Benadryl. She was only, gosh, I don't remember, maybe 4 months, 5 months old. You know, they wanted me to pump her full of Benadryl. It was ridiculous what was happening. I mean, the stories that were, and I can tell you, thank goodness I found a doctor here in Austin that, no longer, you know, he's retired now, but I remember he kept, you know, he said, chew her food for her. And I said, what am I, you know, how am I going to chew this food? And he says, why? And he says, because she has no enzymes. You have to chew it for her to give her the enzymes. And then she was eating like a bird. You know, I was feeding her like a bird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, doctors don't really. And then when I told my doctor that she was on a gluten, dairy, all soy-free, everything else, and you know, the regular pediatrician, and he would just say, you know, I don't know how you're going to reach her magnesium and calcium and everything without the dairy and everything else that she needs to develop properly. You know, I mean, there was there's so many different things that it's just a struggle when you go to a doctor and they look at you like you are the weird person that goes in, and, you know, they don't really, you know, I'm not okaying the vaccinations. I'm not, you know, cause something is wrong, and you really have to know that the child is well, if you're going to push the vaccination, and, you know, they know there is something wrong, but they continue to want to vaccinate them. You know, so it was just, I mean, I'm so grateful that you're doing something, because the young moms really need the help they can get.
And I love what you said, because even it was interesting that the lawyer brought up the fact that we need to believe in our women's intuition, right, in our mother's intuition. and to stand up for that, you know. And I was, it was just amazing to hear that from the lawyer. But
right.
Those are the kinds of people that have participated in this, you know, and they're coming from such a holistic perspective, every single one of them, you know, just phenomenal.
And there's something about people hearing it from someone that they revere up at these, you know, these scholar type positions. And they go, oh, you know, my neighbor told me that last week, but I didn't believe her. Oh, he said that. Maybe it's true.
You know? Right. And, yeah, and I remember when she had MMR, she was supposed to get the second booster. And I said, can you please take the titers? I don't believe she needs any more vaccinations. And I was fighting the daycare system wouldn't take her if she wasn't vaccinated. So, you know, and I had to work full time. So it wasn't easy. And I remember she was, she was definitely like 6 months old, I think, when they have to do the booster, on the old schedule. And that I put this numbing thing for her because I could, how are they going to take blood to do the titers for such a small child? So we went through all this trauma and they lost all the results. We had to do it again. You know, and she definitely had enough of the.
Yeah, you think that's an obvious thing that they would be doing before they vaccinate a kid again? Is right. Their titers.
Right, but you know, I had to fight them all the time. I'm like, no, I want a titer. I want to know if she needs it. You know, if you give her, she already had measles. Why would you want to give her another booster?
Yeah.
You know, so you just, I mean, people have to. It's just so frustrating. I cannot believe what's going on. You know.
Yeah, it you know, they talk a lot about the herd immunity, mm-hmm. but they don't talk about the herd mentality, and the herd mentality is what's getting us into so much trouble, because it's, they just follow the herd. What is everybody else doing? And they don't think it's true.
Right.
And you have to think, you can't follow the herd, right? You have to think, this is your child. Let's think what's logical. Does it make sense to take a 4-month-old child and inject them full of all kinds of stuff loaded with preservatives and additives and in the hopes of that providing immunity.
Right, right. I mean, a child coming with chronic ear infection from 5-month-old child and they cannot stop it and they have given her every antibiotic possible. And I remember they gave her Rocephin injections and I had to take her to emergency with 105 temperature and she couldn't sit up. She was falling over. And the doctor was like, well, why are they pumping her full of Rocephin? That's a last resort antibiotic. And then she couldn't, when 2 months later, she couldn't hold any of everything she ate just came out. It was just nothing was, you know, holding in her bowels. It was just, it was a horrible experience. So I am so grateful that she's speaking up.
These are the kind of things, hopefully you have some moms talking, get her on
here.
Oh
yeah, I have educated a lot of moms on it since then.
Come on and do a Facebook Live with Eva maybe, and you know, just to reinforce some of their real life stories.
Right.
Because it's...
Yeah, I'd love to if you need me to. I mean, I would love to share it.
Feel free to join us on the Facebook Lives, because we're going to be doing Facebook Lives every single day.
Okay.
And it's good to have people contribute because, again... in retrospect, what I can see is that I was so afraid that not only that they would keep her, but that they would come after my other children, and I didn't say anything. And
I know that they actually can take children away from parents if you're refusing medical treatment.
Well, that's what they did. They took my daughter away from me.
Right.
I haven't seen my daughter in months.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. I knew when you were coming on as part of our team, I heard the story and I was just hoping then that's not going to happen. So you still haven't seen her. Well, sorry. I know that's tough.
Yeah. So it's important for people to hear our stories, to get the courage to share their stories so that people realize that it's not an anomaly. It's not,
it's not just one weird,
you know, because that's what they wanted it to make it seem like. I was just this, you know, person who was disagreeable and didn't want to do anything. But my story, unfortunately, is the story of many, many other families.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. Yeah. There was
It really saddens me to hear that some of these things are still happening. This is how I got started. My oldest, who's now 34,
was always getting upper respiratory and ear infections. So by the time she was 6 months old, I felt like I was always going to the pediatrician. And so amoxicillin was the brand new antibiotic, and they wanted to give her that. And I was asking all these questions, like, you know, what might this do? What are the studies? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, you're a new mom, aren't you? I'm like, seriously? Did you just like really say that out loud? And so, of course, he writes me the prescription and I took it and I went, oh, look, there's the garbage. Bye. And that's what started this journey. I think if I'd been older, I might not have been. I was young. I was a single mom. I was young. I was like, yeah, whatever. But that is what moms need to hear and know, that they do have that choice.
Yes.
They can say, forget about it, you know?
Right. And the crazy thing is, I remember when Emma was having all those ear infections, like I said, it was at least 4 months continuous ear infection. She was forced to have a surgery because right after the emergency visit, doctor said she has to be admitted and we have to do a surgery because she's full of pus. The antibiotics didn't work. So, you know, as young mom, I'm going into this whole thing blind, saying, okay, she needs the surgery because obviously she's in pain. She's struggling. I don't know what else to do. The doctors don't know what else to do. So at least they have to relieve the pressure, right? So she had the surgery, and 2 weeks later, she's having bloody, pussy drainage constantly from her ears. So it didn't stop the problem. It just alleviated the issue. Well, at 10 months, when I went to see Dr. Ziblov here in Austin.
It was Ziblov. That's what I thought you had meant. Yeah. The barefoot doctor.
You know, I felt like I was completely stupid. I had no idea about anything. And he just sat me down and we worked one thing at a time. And, you know, digestive enzymes that we needed to digest the mucus, take her off of everything. And she never had another ear infection. It was just like crazy.
Magic. Yeah.
You know, never again had another one. So obviously the damage was done from other things that she continued to have other issues later, but you know, it was just her immune system wasn't correct and she had pinworms that we didn't know. They ate all of her nutrients and supplements. It was just, I mean, you know, from daycare. It was just, you know, it was just crazy things. I mean, if I could tell you the stories that I went with this child, I'm grateful that she's in, you know, she just went
to college. She went to college. You did a good job. You turned it around.
Yeah. So there's so much that you can share with the young moms because,
yes.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it's really.
Who specializes in working with young moms or wants to work with, because I just think that would be such a great,
I do exhausted moms, bone sucking, tired.
You know, because I think that most of the people, I was talking about this with Annette, right? Because we're talking about her diabetic, working with the diabetic moms of diabetics, type 1 diabetics, and how they think that it's like, oh, just give them the antibiotics. They think it'll just give it to them and maybe then I'll look for another solution, but they don't see the long-term damage. Like, you know, these kids with insulin, right? Oh yeah, the sugar goes too high, give them more insulin. Oh, it went too low, give them more sugar. Oh, it went too high. And they're like this, and they don't see it that way. They just see, I'm just trying to keep her steady. But what Annette's trying to teach them is every time that happens, it's damaging them. Same thing with the antibiotics every single time. And when it's over and over and surgeries and antibiotics and all kinds of other medications, that this poor kid's very delicate immune system when they're little gets compromised. And there's all kinds of studies that show, you know, kids that had antibiotics within the first 3 years of life are much more likely to have asthma and arthritis and all the A's, you know, the various, what is the word I'm looking for? Atopic diseases later on as a result of that. And these are studies that show this. Yeah. They're not listening. Yeah.
You know, and what worked for me was I discovered a chiropractor, and he worked on her 3 times a week for 2 weeks and 2 times a week for 3 weeks. And yeah, we took her off of dairy and all that stuff. That's where I became a certified macrobiotic chef. And of course, he gets me on it too. And it was The only time she's ever sick is if she, guess what, eats junk. Because she called me from college. Oh, you know, my tonsils are swelling, blah, blah, blah. Like, what did you eat? I knew you would say that.
Yeah. So,
and now she runs marathons.
That's great. That's great.
So that, but that, you're right. And this is why I'm so grateful for Michelle with what she's doing. She's, I mean, you can tell right here. She's given us a platform for our voice so that we can have that community.
Yeah. I think if you do the Facebook Live, there is the way now that you can actually bring people in. You could say join to say who has a story they want to share that you think can empower others. Because and then if you just start getting it happening, really, and people get inspired because they're not alone anymore.
And we're having the launch party on Saturday from 6 to 8. If anyone would like to be able to join in and share why it's important, just let me know and I will send you a link so that you can be a, what they call it, whatever it is.
Yeah, know. Yeah, yeah.
What time zone?
Do it on Zoom?
That's Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Eastern. Okay, 6 yeah. to 8 Eastern, so 5 to 6, and then whatever that is on the West Coast, 5 o'clock. 5? No.
Yeah.
6 minus 3 is 3. 3 to 6. 3 to 6. Okay. Don't make me do math in front of people. So, Elaine, I saw you popped on. Did you have something you wanted to share or ask, or just... Good to see you.
I'm just glad to be here. So.
Glad you are.
I haven't been able to come in such a long time. So it's like, yay, I get to see y'all's faces and you're actually moving. And it's right now, I'm not seeing you like a week later on a recording. I'm so glad you record everything. You're saving me with those right now. So
I'm glad you're watching them. I'm glad somebody's watching. I love when I hear people say, I'm watching the recordings. I missed it. I'm like, great. I'm so glad. You know, that's the thing. The beauty of these calls is even if, you know, people say, I don't have any questions, so why should I come to a call? It's because you just don't know what the discussion is going to be and how it's going to evolve. And that happens last night. What are we talking about? We ended up talking about glucose. And this was with the ERC people. And it was, you know, it was an early on call. So people didn't have real questions, but one thing led to another. And there's a whole big discussion about the different kinds of meters and how to do the thing. And people were just learning so much. I couldn't have planned that. Right? I couldn't have said, oh, tonight we're going to talk about glucose meters. And, you know, I couldn't have planned that tonight we're going to talk about children's health and, you know, empowering parents. But no, that's what this turned out to be, you know, and I think it's very, that's why I love these calls. They're my favorite calls. The cases are fun too, but they're more focused. This is just what I love because so many times these amazing discussions evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to be affected by the coming storms?
You're maybe in Florida, not you? No? You're too far inland? Yeah.
I know, we're watching the one that's creeping up in the Gulf.
Oh, there's another one?
The bad one on the East Coast.
Yeah, because you're in Houston, right? Yeah, my son is in D.C., so if it goes wrong, he was going out to buy sandbags so water didn't get in the basement. He's never had a basement before, like in Texas, we don't have basements. So and his bedroom shares it. It's a rental that they share with the college kids. And there's three of them, and he's in the basement. He's got the basement apartment. So he said, I'm protecting that basement. But you don't know if it's going to go there. And they're wrong. They've been wrong almost every time. And when they predict where it's going to hit. Last year with the it was going to hit in Corpus Christi, which is where my younger son had just moved to. And it hit, like, you know, whatever number of miles north of there, and Corpus was fairly spared. And when it hit Houston, who would have thought that it was going to go hit Houston? They didn't predict that. I was in Maui, and everybody I know was writing to me and scared for me. And I'm like, you want to see my sunset? Like, seriously? Right? So they just don't know. And that's what he said. It's a total crapshoot. You don't know. Yeah. And you just got to prepare just in case. And
well, I just found out that there are two different weather systems. There's the European system and then there's the American system. And apparently the European system tends to be much more accurate in its prediction.
Oh.
And I never knew
that. Take it on.
I know, but I guess because of our American ego, we don't believe we should learn from
it. Well, it's that issue of we're the best, right? We don't take it on with GMOs. They've banned GMOs for how long? And we're still going, oh yeah, they're fine. Anyway, anybody else? I don't see a 4 o'clock call tomorrow. I won't be available. I didn't know about that either. Oh, where would that be listed, Lynn? Is that just spontaneous?
Yes, I had put a poll on the Facebook group, and it was fairly evenly divided between different times. But I'll just
go with what's good.
I'll just start open it up at 4 o'clock, and people can join.
Just join
as they need to, and we'll work with them.
And then you record it. Make sure you record it and post it.
What is that for?
It's for the people that are doing the functional nutrition coaching for ERC this year. Yeah.
So you're sending the link, Lynn?
Sorry, my dog was barking. I'm going to put it in the Facebook group. Is that okay?
Okay, I'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Did you have your hand up, Susan? I saw you wave. Or were you saying that's okay? I just had the corner. Oh, it was a thumbs up. I couldn't tell because I just had the corner of my eye. I saw your hand go up because I was looking at the chat. Let's see, much time between our two calls. What's this? Did you do it correctly? How much time do we need between our two calls? What do you mean between your two calls? You mean the second one with the same person for doing their purported findings? How long does it take you to put it together, right? So if, is it a week? I would say minimum a week. And if it has to be longer because it takes you that long. But however long it takes, and, you know, it's totally up to you. If you do want to do it the next day and they're ready and the two of you can be ready, that's a little bit ambitious.
Well, and it would be too, because, like, I reviewed the silver ones and you have to review the gold and gold plus. So you need a couple of days in there at least.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still a bit confused because here on the little cheat sheet chart, it says that we're doing a comprehensive initial health plan appointment, two of those. And then it also says a private personalized health plan presentation. So what's the difference?
No, just one. Just one. So just one comprehensive. Where are you looking at? I'm not sure.
On the summary checklist sheet?
Yeah. Well, for the look under the silver, because that's the ones. Well, you'll be doing one for your gold and one for your silver as a group.
Okay.
So the comprehensive.
I'm trying to figure out what's the difference between the personalized health plan and the health plan appointment.
That's the same thing, but you're going to be creating. I'd have to see it. Share your screen with me so I could see what you're looking at.
Oh, I'm actually.
Have it printed out.
Hold on a second. Let me pull it up.
Now. I'll pull it up. I have it on the thing. Because if it's there twice, it's a mistake.
It's on page 23.
Okay. ERC invitation. If you're basically going to meet with them and do a comprehensive like you would normally do, and then you're going to put together a plan for them, you know, and you're going to talk to them there. Usually you give them one or two things to start with. Talk to them about what you're thinking, and then you go back and fill in the form that we gave you, or, you know, your version of that form. Mm-hmm. And let's see. And then from there, let's see.
Okay, I must have an older version of this chart then, because this chart that I'm seeing right now is a little bit different from what
I have my screen shared? No, I didn't share my screen, did I? So show me where on the screen here. Share. Maybe. Okay.
So let's see. Right after it says... monthly live online training calls. Then it says comprehensive initial appointment.
Yep.
And then private personalized health plan. So you don't do the health plan and the initial appointment then?
Yeah, you do both of those, right? No, you don't do it at the, no, you go back and you review it and you put it together and kind of jot things down and then review it with them.
Okay.
Yeah. That's generally how I do things. I've always done things. I always do that in two visits. I mean, I'll always give them stuff to get started with at the first visit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to overwhelm them. So I used to overwhelm them when I very first started. And I'd go, oh, and you can do this and do this and do this and do this. And I'd go, nice. And then I'd never see them again. So I would tell them a few things and then say, next time we're going to really go through. And it's really about, you know, you getting with them and you're showing them your ideas for what they think and doing what Lynn calls negotiation with them, right? Like when you want them to do all of these things, and I used to do that, I'd give them this, you know, this big comprehensive plan, and then they'd go, ugh. So it's just broken down into segments so that it makes it feel a little less overwhelming. And you spend, you know, whatever time it takes with them to do that.
So who does, are you the one who does the report of findings?
No, you do.
And then we support that?
No, you do.
Okay.
So you guys are, so you're talking for your goals, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you're going to do your comprehensive initial appointment and then your health plan. So those are two different visits.
So the health plan is going to include the report of findings?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I think if you look in the in that coaching guidelines that Lynn put together, mm-hmm. it'll say what to do before, during, and after, so it'll explain exactly what that is. So it's the, basically it's the report of findings.
And each of these are 60 minutes?
Well, I usually find that the first one is more like 90. I'm just slow, you know. So whatever, we tell them it's between 60 and 90, and then the second one is usually 60.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that the comprehensive initial appointment is your fact-finding appointment, information gathering, and then we take that information to do the second step, which is the private personalized yes. health plan.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And during that, you want to, you know, also get in touch with what are their goals, why do they really want their health, and like it's a really getting to know you, in-depth getting to know you kind of an encounter. Right. Last year, we actually had a third appointment where you just sat down with them and did goals. And a couple of people said, well, that was too much. I didn't think I needed to do all that. I could do that as part of the first appointment. So, but I think that's an important part is getting to their big why. Because if you can help them to get to their big why, then when they start to go off track or aren't willing to do things, you can bring them back to their big why. Make sense?
So now I usually have a format that I use with my clients to do a discovery process. Is it okay for me to use that, or is there a format that you want us to use?
Well, they've already filled out the getting to know you form, but if you have a format that you take notes on, we provided it in the master tracker, but if you have your own format for taking notes while you're with them, fine. Just make sure if you can put that into the master tracker. So then when I have the comprehensive lab appointment with them, then I know what you've discussed with them.
Because the one that I use, it's because I do a very deep dive on the why and the emotional aspect. So I really work on getting their story, having them.
Yeah, perfect. Have you looked at the master tracker, the different forms that we have in there?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you know, as long as you're getting that information, it sounds like you do a very comprehensive and you are getting at that why piece. Mm-hmm. And you also want to get at the when did this start?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's a duality, you know.
Yeah, perfect.
But it usually takes me 2 hours.
Oh, well, if you want to take 2 hours, you're totally welcome to do that. We've told them it's about an hour and a half, but if it's going to take you 2 hours to do that, do what feels comfortable with you. Now, do you also do a report of findings with that, or do you get them back in to do
it? Well, the report of findings comes after that, and that's another 2 hours because, so it's
kind of. I would just make sure when you communicate with them that they are aware to decide that amount of time.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can always split the report of findings into, you know, an initial and then a next piece because you've got plenty of calls with them that you can do that on.
Well, what I did is that I put it into my Acuity because my Acuity also has them complete forms that automatically populates when they do their appointments. So like I have before they do like a progress session, I always have them complete certain, like you said, thinking questions in
terms of
what did I accomplish? What are my big hurrah moments? And to really drill down on that so that when they come to my session, they're already prepped. And I'm just
already prepped. Exactly. Exactly. That's perfect. That's exactly. And I created a form for them to do that. And I'll share that. Did you put that in the document? I'll show it to you real quick. It's a real simple form, but let's see.
Which form?
It's the one. The one that's private consultation, pre-prep form. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's actually there's in the resource
private spreadsheet. Yeah. So this is, it's real simple because I found that if I give them more than three questions to answer, they won't do it. Yeah. And I find that for myself too, if I'm doing
something. But this is the one you use, right? This is not the one that the coaches use.
No, this is ones for anybody that's doing any kind of private coaching beforehand. ERC private coaching pre-call form. Mm-hmm. So what do you want to celebrate? Or successes you've had since your last session? What did you complete that you intended or promised to complete? I don't know about I like the word. I think I'm going to take out the word promised. I think I'm just going to leave it as intended to complete. Promise sounds almost like it's scolding. Like you promised to do that. And then they feel, I don't know. To me, it feels reprimanding. What challenges or issues are you facing now? What do you want us to focus on? And then anything else, that's an optional question.
My form is pretty much just like that. Okay. And it just goes out whenever they book the appointment.
Automatically gets sent.
Yeah, it automatically
populates. That's fine. So you can tell them that, you know, they can do that, but I want to make sure the reason I like this is then that the responses, I don't think we have any responses in it yet, will go into this spreadsheet that I can see. And then I can go in on my next group call with them. If they ask a question, I can see, how they've been progressing and what they're really focused on. And I have them do this. I have a very much shorter form than this before the group calls as well. So, you know, it's up to, you can do your thing. I think it'll be fine. You only have one person. Let's just try it. You know, if it was a whole bunch of people, but if there's specific stuff that, here's what I would do. If there's specific stuff that you want to make sure that is kept track of, then what you can do is you can go to, this form, which is in your sheet, is the call that you, the form that you're going to use after your call, okay. The group call notes, ERC coaching call notes.
Uh-huh. And I can paste it in there.
And you can just paste in the stuff into there under the notes. Like it's just, and this is real simple. Mm-hmm. It's just notes, notes and suggested actions. So anything you think is pertinent, you can just pop in here after you've had the conversation with them, and then suggested actions, you know, whatever it is, one, two, or three. I don't think having more than three actions is wise for many people. There's a one in there who has Jeannie. Jeannie seems like she's like, okay, just tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's what she said. Yeah. Cause we were talking about emotional eating and you intended to do that, but didn't. And she's like, she basically indicated that no, she just wants to know what to do because she's going to do it. She just doesn't know what to do.
So now the Google Forms, is that something that they have to take the initiative to go grab it, fill it out?
Well, that's a good question because for my calls, they'll automatically, we'll make sure that they're sent it. But let me think, if you've got calls with them, no, you would send them the form to fill out. So if you prefer to send them your own form to fill out, you can send them your own form to fill out.
Well, I'm just trying to simplify my life. So I see that there is a website up here, or should I say a web address?
Yeah, there is.
And if I embedded that into my confirmation email.
Yes, exactly.
But will it populate a new one each month, or do I have to create a new link each month?
Nope, it's the same one each month. And you could go back, if we go back to this form, right? If I go to back pre-call notes, and if they'll fill it out, it'll go in this response database, which is, it's stored in the shared folder where all the coaches share. And you can go in here and you can sort it by the person's name. And you'll see all the ones for that person and you'll get to see all the different forms.
Okay.
All the different answers. So assuming there's a whole bunch of these that are done.
So what I'll do is I'll just put that link into my confirmation emails and my reminder emails. And beautiful. That way it'll simplify things.
That'll simplify things. Yeah. Okay. And for anybody else who's doing it, you, when you make your appointments with the people, not the first and the second one, because those are very specific, but when you do your follow-ups, you just send them the link to this. When you say, hey, we're scheduled for, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. October 25th at 9 p.m., 9 a.m., whatever, here's the link to a forum. Please just keep me updated on what's going on and what you want to cover on the call. Here it is. And then you just send it to them. And then
I'll see how that works. I've just had challenges sometimes with people completing forms, but with Acuity, they have to complete the form in order to book the appointment.
Oh,
so that's the kicker.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I'll put in the link, and hopefully the person will be compliant, and I won't have to chase people down. Because I've had to cancel appointments when people haven't completed the forms. I said, "There's nothing for us to discuss."
Yeah. No, I like the fact that it doesn't. I don't know how to do that since everybody's scheduling individually.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like we have.
You have Sandra for your private, and she's really good about doing those.
She's very good. You'll have no problem with her. She's one of the ones that filled out her progress journals every single week.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you'll like her. She's definitely compliant.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll do whatever you tell her to do too. I mean, to a point. I asked her. She was having an allergic reaction. I told her we didn't know what it was causing it. And I just said, don't eat for a day. And let's just see if it calms down and just see. I'm like, what? What? You want me to fast for a whole day? Like, I can't do that. So.
Well, speaking of that, my daughter, she has been experiencing food allergies. And it's like she keeps on having more food allergies. And I keep telling her we need to deal with the gut, but you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, can we just do the test to find out what I'm allergic to? And I said, well, the problem with that is that you start to become allergic to more things. So even after the test, you're going to keep on expanding how many foods you've become allergic to because we haven't dealt with
it. Just the cause. Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's hard to get them to understand that. And adults, the same thing. Just run the food allergy test for me. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, I'll run it for you and you can stay away from all 47 foods that you're allergic to. And then you'll come back in 3 months and you'll find that, you know, 40 of those 47 you're not allergic to anymore because you were compliant. And now there's 42 more foods that you're allergic to because those are the ones you were eating instead of the ones that you eliminated.
Well, hers are not really sensitivities. Hers are actually full-blown allergies.
Full-blown allergies. Gets,
you know, the swelling in the throat and, you know, to the point where we have to get an EpiPen for her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's not the sensitivity. She's actually beyond that.
Then you could do that with an elimination diet, right? Because those are the easy ones to detect.
Well, that's the thing. She, you know, we have identified certain foods that she's allergic to. And when we cut those out, it's now expanding. She's becoming
expanding because she didn't address it.
Yeah, so it's not just a sensitivity issue. It's where she's getting that anaphylactic kind of
response. Bad.
And
I would explain to her, look what happened when we eliminated those. So it's going to be the same thing, only we'll be out $300 because we had to pay for the test. So how about this? I'll split the $300 with you. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to let me work on your gut, I'll give you half of that. I don't know, something that'll inspire a teenager.
Yeah. But that's just becoming a concern because now she's afraid to eat anything because she doesn't know if she's going to have a reaction and need to take the EpiPen, you know, so she actually travels with it all everywhere and she's in the band for that. And it's actually more so fruits than anything else. So it started out with just strawberry and then it became mangoes. So it's not even fruits that she eats a lot of, you know, so it's not even like I can say, okay, you know, if you're eating a lot of this, then it has a tendency of turning into, you know, that kind of situation.
So you sure it's not a histamine reaction?
I haven't
considered that. As opposed to, you know, like a sensitivity, not being able to break down histamines in the food itself.
I'll have to check and see if the ones that she's,
yeah, tend to be high. I know strawberries are for sure. So
yes, strawberries.
I think mangoes are too, and there's something in their skin that a lot of people are reactive to.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's worth looking at.
That's
worth looking at. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, teenagers are tough to deal with, especially if they're your own, right? The other people.
Yeah. And she's high strung with anxiety. And even that I know is gut related, but she's like, oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. I'm like, okay. Okay. I was like, oh, I can teach you heart math. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I hear you. Yeah, my son was, my husband and my son went to a weekend marathon of ball games, football and baseball, with my brother-in-law who has season tickets, and they came home and Scott said to me, you know, I'm really concerned about Kevin. He had a bloody nose every day. I'm like, what? Every day? He said, what's going on? So, you know, and he says, you should check him out. I don't know what, that could be something serious, right? I said, sure, it could be something serious. Let's check him out. So he comes over yesterday and right away, check his nose. What's going on? I say, let's see. He goes, I have a cut inside my nose that I've had since I was in for like a month and a half. And I said, a month and a half and you had a cut inside your nose? And he shows me and he goes, yeah, it's getting smaller, but you know, every so often for whatever reason, it starts to bleed. And his girlfriend says, well, that's because he picks it all the time. So like, if you don't want a bloody nose, keep your bloody fingers out of your nose. I told him that, but he wouldn't listen to me. I'd like to get the scab off, he says. Well, then what do you expect?
Anyway. Our children.
Children, right?
Laughing.
He's not a teenager anymore. He just turned 20. Like, wow.
They'll always be kids.
They'll always be children and babies, right? Yes. Until they're not. Anyway, anybody else questions? Is anything coming in here? Tony, are you safe from the hurricane? Are they thinking it's going to hit your area too? Because you're close, right? Evacuation is in Charleston. Oh, yeah. Who was that? Madeline. Madeline had to evacuate, right? Madeline Lighton. She's in Charleston. Okay. And JotForm. Tell us about JotForm. Is that easy to use? Does it look easier than that?
Well, I use JotForm if I have to create conditionals. And if
this one has, they have conditionals.
It has conditionals, and it also has where you can add up the scores and you can give people a result based upon their score. So it's a lot more complex than Google Forms. I like Google Forms. I use Google Forms for the majority of my stuff, but when I have something that I need to have
it calculate. That's good to know, to calculate.
And it can do all kinds of different mathematical formulas, you know. Okay. So,
and is there a fee for that?
At the level that I'm at, no. I'm at the entry level because I'm not perturbed to have their little brand at the bottom. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But the fee isn't really that much, actually, if you go the level above that where you can get the branding off. But I don't find it necessary at this point.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll take a look at it. Because I know that I just read that Google just added it. Maybe the release came out in August. They added the conditional and then they the scoring. But I haven't played with the scoring to see.
Oh, okay.
I'm using a form called Mock Forms, which is like a one-time fee of $79. Mm-hmm. But then we paid someone to customize it to do the scoring and tagging into Infusionsoft. So that's the piece that I'm trying to figure out with these forms.
Okay.
If we can get them tagged to Infusionsoft, like with the getting to know you, until I can figure that out. I don't want to take that and make that way, but I'll look into JotForm maybe. But I want to find something that will talk to Infusionsoft. But I guess this guy can probably figure out how to make it talk to Infusionsoft because he did it with MockForm after the guy over there told me it wouldn't.
Because I used it to create one of those stress surveys where, you know, there's when you add up people's stress scores.
Mm-hmm.
So it was able to do that. And based on what their stress score it is, it gives them a certain message.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can do that with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'll look at that. I'll look at JotForm as well. Does it put all your results into a spreadsheet that you can look at?
I don't know. It might. It's just that I've never looked for the spreadsheet option because I don't have people do it over and over and over again. So
yeah, right, for that kind of thing.
I just use it as one of my preliminary breakthrough sessions to funnel people into one of my programs.
I like that idea. All right,
you're about to die. You have too much stress.
I get people. You know, we have a variety of people. We do those. We have a digestive one, and it's a digestive report card, and they get an A, B, C, D, or F. And we have people who write in irate. I've been following an Ayurvedic diet for 4 years, and I've been vegan, and you gave me a C on that thing, and there must be something wrong. You're just trying to market to me and sell me your program. And I look back to see, and I'm like, wow, she had to check off like at least 12 symptoms of digestive imbalance in order to get a score of a C, because there was no way that she could be normal. You know, and there was gas and bloating and headaches and brain fog and all kinds of other stuff as well. But I'm like, I'm sorry, lady, you're not as healthy as you think. But they actually write. We actually had people write in like that. And I had to let Lynn and somebody else write back to her, because I was just going to say, take a hike. And, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. You shouldn't be able to sleep at night for what you're doing to people, creating fear in them. Like fear that your digestion is a mess and that can lead to disease. It's a warranted fear. I see it all the time. I'm trying to catch you before you become one of my patients. It's crazy.
How do you respond to those types of people who have been on very stringent diets? Even I've had a couple of those who've been on the Ayurvedic diet, and to get them out of that mindset. That it just wasn't suited for their particular chemistry, right. Even though
it's a lot of webinars explaining it, right? And I'm doing another one next week, and it's called something about keto, beyond keto, plant-based and fear-based diet, because that's what people are going into. And my email, I wrote a very direct email that's going to go out tomorrow. And it basically says, you know, it concerns me that you're out there and you're learning all your health information from the latest Facebook ad where somebody is just creating this fear about a certain food group. Yeah. And then another one's creating a fear about another food group. And, you know, this has got to stop. You've got to figure out what's right for you. I want you to be able to sit down to a meal and feel comfortable eating it. And if something goes wrong, you know, and I didn't say all that, but I'm going to say that on the webinar. But it's a change in mindset, because they think the Ayurvedic diet, that's the Bible, right? And some of my bullet points are, you know, the myth of that eating a vegan diet means you're healthy. The myth that, you know, eating keto is a good way to lose weight. I mean, there's all kinds of myths that are not universal truths. They're just true for certain people with certain genetics and certain backgrounds. So it's an education process. You know, it's really an education process to help them see, Ayurvedic diet is great. And, you know, but there may be something in that diet that's just not right for you. And I want to help you to identify that and to really balance it. And it's possible that it could be your stress level, and it could be the lack of chewing, and you're going into a meal coming from a sympathetic state, and your body can't digest even the best of foods. Even if you're eating the perfect diet for you, it's going to hurt you if you're eating it under stress and not chewing it. So it's really, the whole thing that we do is really, so much of it is just educating them and uneducating them, right? Mm-hmm. Getting rid of the myths and the misconceptions and the mistakes they're making. Annette and I were talking about the mistakes that a lot of these diabetic moms of diabetic kids make. And, you know, we were trying to come up with three that were really, you know, there. And we were like, it's not your fault. This is what you've been taught. But it's not okay to have them have highs and lows. That is not okay. As long as it balances out. No, that is not okay. And this is why. And what was the other myth? There was a couple of others that we came up with that were really good, and mistakes that these people are making because their doctor told them. And so they may have gotten disillusioned with the Western medicine practitioner, and they went to this Ayurvedic practitioner who, well-meaning, but limited in her scope or his scope of knowledge, says this is the best diet for everybody. Right. And Chinese medicine, same thing. And it's supposed to be based on yin and yang and hot and cold and all that. But it's based on this archaic notion that everybody should be eating, you know, 70% of their food is brown rice. Right. Well, that was back in the day when that was the best food around, and it was cheap and nobody had access to anything else. Right. Let's just.
Well, and that's the thing. And if you go through our food religion module, you'll hear a lot of that. Yeah. And so the people who practice that. The Ayurveda, the Chinese medicine, macrobiotics, keto, whatever, they are limited in their scope. They, because honestly, if somebody is
truly doing either Ayurveda or Chinese medicine, they really look at the whole person. But my experience with a lot of people nowadays, they've gone through a program that's maybe 6 months and gotten their certification, and they really haven't done the really deep work in those practices to really do like you do, which is to truly understand that person from both, you know, like Lynn, you know, to really do homeopathy. You don't go in and say, I'm having digestion, and she hands you open a vial and says,
look for one and say, yeah, this is good.
No, you got to know the whole person, their emotions, their constitution, the whole
thing. Whether they like eggplant or not?
Yeah.
It's a question that somebody asked me when I went for a homeopathic constitutional for my son when he was 5, and we spent 2 hours with him playing on the floor and me asking questions like, does he like eggplant? And I'm like, no. Oh, okay. You know, and then they gave me a remedy, and 2 weeks later he stopped wetting his bed. So I'm like, okay, there's something to this, right? There's this whole body of stuff. And with Ayurvedic, it's right. They learn the stuff, but they may just learn how to determine what dosha you are. And then here's the list. Well, everybody's a mixture, right? Where you might be 50% kapha and 20% vata and 20%, what's the other one, pitta. And Michelle might be 40% kapha. And there may be a lot of overlap between what the two of you are going to eat.
And is it who they are now or who they truly are? Because again, they have a birth constitution, and you know, like my birth constitution with doshas is primarily kapha. I have like maybe 2% vata, but I was presenting with too much vata pitta, and so it's just, again, it's not a this for that thing. No matter which modality you look at, it's really getting to know that person to find out their underlying causes.
And I'm going to throw another plug in. To help them do that. But I'm going to pull another plug. Most of those people do not study the underlying biochemistry, physiology, and anatomy of the body. So they are not applying it to the specific function of that particular area. So not that that's the be all and the end all, but I think you need that framework to really be good at any of the modalities and to understand, like when these people who are these big keto teachers out there making a fortune because they're brainwashing people into thinking they all need to do ketogenic diets, they're teaching stuff that doesn't even make sense. And it doesn't take into account fat malabsorption. It doesn't take into account gallbladder congestion, liver congestion, low stomach acid. Doesn't take into account any of that stuff. And then doesn't take into account that antioxidants are kind of needed and fresh fruits and vegetables are important. And even if they have more than 5 grams of carbohydrate in a stalk of broccoli, it's still a good food to eat, right? And so they're just brainwashing. And half of these people aren't even measuring their ketones. Who was it? One of you, maybe it was Susan. Somebody said, when you said, oh, you're following a ketogenic diet. Oh, you know, what are you using to measure ketones? Where's your ketone level falling? And they're like, what? Like, how do you say you're doing a ketogenic diet if you're not even measuring ketosis? And they're saying, oh yeah, I can get into ketosis with 75 grams of whole vegetable carbs. Throw in even a little bit of fruit or a little bit of grain and I'm out of ketosis and my sugar's way up, right? But I can just eat as many vegetables as I want and I can stay in ketosis, right? And I think most people will be able to get there if they get themselves clean and healthy. But if they stay on a ketogenic diet, and people think meat, a lot of meat is on a ketogenic diet. I hate to break this to you, but it's a moderate protein and it's supposed to be 80% fat, you know, and, you know, very little carb, but how are you doing this, right? I mean, you're eating meat. All the extra meat is going to get converted to branched chain amino acids. You don't use a structural protein. It goes to a branched chain and then your sugar goes up. I mean, theoretically.
Right. And what this does is it, once again, kind of entraps people to following somebody.
The herd mentality.
They're not, right. So they're not trusting their own innate wisdom.
You know, interesting thing happened with that innate wisdom. So yesterday, I'm always feeling great and full of it. And I had my lunch and suddenly I started feeling tired. And I checked my blood sugar and it went up. And up for me these days, it went to like 105. And I'm like, huh, I wonder what just ate. I ate cauliflower. I've eaten this before. And I was trying to dissect it. And I had this kimchi. And when I went to the refrigerator, Scott said to me, did you open a second jar of that kimchi? I said, looked and went, it was a different kimchi than I normally eat. I thought it looked different because it's a daikon kimchi. The one he gets and eats has some cane sugar in it. He claims, but it says just 1 gram or something on it, right? So I said, I'm not eating it. Well, he goes, it can't be. I said, well, it wasn't like I ate it and I knew it and my blood sugar went up. I ate this meal. I thought it was perfectly fine. I thought my sugar would go to 85 or 90 and I'm come back down again and it didn't. So what else could it have been? Right? And it was a blind test. So my body's that sensitive to this added sugar. Why? You know, genetics, M&Ms, Kool-Aid, you know, cumulative effect of all the above. And that's where we have to look with people and say, yes, on paper, you should be able to eat this. But in reality, your body's saying no. So let's just go with no for a while, get you balanced and healed, and then we'll try it again. It's crazy, right? There's so many people like that who they go, I didn't know there was corn in that. And when they found out it wasn't really corn, it was like a drop of, I don't know, some alcohol that had corn in it. Or I mean, some tiny little amount, but their body reacted to the microscopic amount. And that's a homeopathic effect, right, Lynn? Right? Those tiny amounts can actually affect, right? So something in me was like, sugar, like cures like sugar. We're going to raise your sugar. Like, okay. There wasn't enough sugar in there to raise my sugar, I don't think. I think it triggered maybe a glycogen release or something that created, oh, we have sugar in here. Maybe we need more. I can't explain it, but. Our bodies are fascinating, and that's where when we do the education with folks, getting back to your original question, it's just a lot of education.
And that's the challenge, to get people to actually believe and have faith in their bodies, you know, because people always ask me, well, what are you? Are you keto? Are you this? Are you that? I'm like, it depends on the day.
On the Michelle diet.
I wake up in the morning and I see what I feel like, and that's what I go with, you know? And that's very unnerving for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're not going to be there right now. It's like, how do you make a meal? Lynn's always at, oh, meal planning. I said, yeah, my meal planning is open the refrigerator. What's there? Throw it on a plate and eat it. Right.
Well, first of all, I did meal planning because I have 7 children to feed and it just works much better that way. But a lot of times the meal planning is a little bit like that. But I always made sure that I had kind of ideas for meals.
Well, I have ideas in my head. Like, I want to have these different nutrients. So my head is going, oh, yeah. I need a little selenium. I need a little zinc. I need a little of this or that. I mean, I did that with my kids too. Oh, you're hungry? Oh, go. What do you want to eat? You know, what's up? What do you feel like eating? Because we didn't plan meals. But I didn't have 7. I had 2, right? So, anyway, but it's that education. Here, I'm gonna just give you a challenge and a reframe, Michelle. Mm-hmm. What if you didn't think it was hard to change their minds? What if you felt when you sat down with them that this was going to be a piece of cake, that you're just going to be so inspiring and so motivating that they're gonna shift? Mm-hmm. Right? Because I find that like, oh no, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Oh no, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. And so then, the way it comes across, even without you realizing it consciously, comes across with a little bit of, you know, now, are you believing me? Are you believing me? Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just challenge you to try that.
Yeah. And that's, to me, that's where the fun is. And, you know, because people always ask me, well, what are your recipes? I'm like, oh, let's just have fun. You know, yeah. And they'll ask me, well, how do you know how much to put in? I was like, you know, it's just like grandma did, a pinch of this, a dab of this. You go with your spirit, you go with your intuition.
Yeah.
And I said, we all have that intuition of what's going to be resonating with us. We just need to trust in it a little bit more. And
you know what? Trust in it and train it.
Yeah, so, to play.
Play.
Fun.
I might encourage you, and this is just an idea, that some people are not ready to hear that. So you might, you might couch it with
them nervous,
and you have that in you, and that's what I'm going to help you bring out. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you become this way more valuable commodity to them because they're thinking, I can't do what she does. I can't do it. And, you know, as opposed to that you all, you have that ability in you just like I do.
Yeah.
And that's what our work together is going to get you to. Would you like that? And always the confirmation. Would you like that? Yeah. Would you like to be able to not worry about it? Would you like to have this inner knowing that just says a little of this and a little of that? Get them to say yes. Mm-hmm. That's what our work together is going to help you do.
And, you know, that's what, even when I have activities at my house and people come in and they're looking at all of these different herbs and I say, just try one, anyone, you know, pick one. And then I give them the challenge of now go home and research what it does. And then call me and tell me why you feel that your spirit chose that for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to get people to be adventurous, to try something and to test the waters and to believe maybe, maybe something in me does know something. And it's always been fascinating what they come to me with.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. It's always a balance too. It's like feeling into them, like us as a practitioner, trusting the intuition and going, I'm getting a little resistance here. So what do I'm feeling that their resistance needs right now?
Yeah.
To feel like it's okay. And like that, like Lynn said to me, I'm like, just open the refrigerator, screw the meal plans. Because she said, you should do a vital healing kitchen on meal planning. And I'm like, screw that. Let somebody else do a vital healing kitchen on meal planning. I'm going on vacation. I don't need it, want it, or know anything about it. Right. So you want to do things you love. But maybe I will bring Lynn in to do a session on meal planning or somebody else who knows how to do that. The thought to me of taking a grid and writing out what I'm going to eat tomorrow at lunch, like shoot me down. And we were talking about that with, because Bright Line Eating, one of our people is in Bright Line Eating, and she had said, you know, I like a lot of this stuff and it really helped me, but Jesus, I don't want to have to think and plan out every morsel I'm going to eat the next day. I'm like, oh, shoot me down now. I don't want to do that either. Like even when I go to the grocery store, I don't go with a list. I just go in, oh, dandelion, that looks good. Oh, bok choy looks good. Oh, and I put it in my cart and people say, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to make something.
Yeah.
Right. But everybody, you got to meet with them where they are. Right. And some people need that structure, at least initially, to get the feel for it. And that's why I teach them like what this has. Oh, this nut has Brazil nuts in it. I want some selenium today. This has zinc. I'm going to put some of that in there. This has that. And see what I just did? I balanced four different minerals that are hard to get in food. I just balanced that. Now we're going to add water and make a nut milk. Oh, what herbs can we add? Let's add some turmeric because I'd like my inflammation to go down a bit. And let's add some cinnamon because it'll balance my blood sugar. And, you know, and the more we teach them those things, because you forget your intuition works better than someone else's intuition that doesn't also have the knowledge. So someone very bright once said, as there was an argument, I don't remember who it was between, like, which is more important, you know, the knowledge or the intuition, right? And he said, the knowledge and the intuition work together because the knowledge gives the intuition the words and the structure to be able to talk about what's getting. Like people who are very intuitive make it a picture and they're like, what am I supposed to do with this picture? Right? But somebody who's seeing, oh, I see this person and their body's missing some minerals, but they don't know what that means. It seems like it's over here, but if they don't know what's over here, and they don't know it's a stomach. So if you can put together that intuition and that tuning in with the knowledge, and that's what we can do with our clients. We can teach them so that they can trust their intuition to get them to where they need to be or want to be, right? Just my opinion. Take it or leave it.
Well, and I also think that the people that come to you are coming to you because you have what they need. You know, they wouldn't be talking to you. They're brought to you. I mean, it's like right now, we got a lot of crazy stress going on in our lives, obviously, with all the sickness. But just amazing the number of people that I get into random conversations about just making their own food. Not going to the freezer section at the grocery store and getting a bag and then just defrosting it and putting it in a skillet. You know, like a P.F. Chang bag of General Tso's chicken for dinner tonight, you know, the concept of cooking, you know, buying fruits and vegetables, you know, buying even just the plainest spices in a spice jar and, you know, putting a meal together. It's like, it's kind of like something that I don't really have to think about. And it's so funny, but those are the people that I seem to come in contact with a lot right now. And so it's kind of like I can have those conversations. I don't want to say that I don't have to think about it, but it's kind of like you don't really have to think about that, you know, because it's like, I don't, you know, I've been cooking forever and it's kind of like, you know, you open the fridge, it's like, okay, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want this. I think I do a lot like what you were referencing earlier. And so it's just kind of like having these very casual conversations with people about, instead of pulling that bag out, you know, what about bringing all of these colors in and what about, you know, sauteing them or whatever they're
you know, teaching them a simple way, showing them how simple and quick
it's so simple.
I can show them I can make something in 5 minutes. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I can do that. I had somebody call me once after the kitchen show and I picked up my phone because she called my home number. I don't know how she got my home number. And I said, hello. And she said, oh, you just, I didn't expect you to answer. I thought it must have been on my website, the number. And she was just thinking she was going to leave a message. She said, I didn't expect you. Oh my God. I just got off your call and I did it with my daughter and we watched and said, oh my God, if she can do it, I can do it. Thank you for being messy. Thank you for dropping things. Thank you for being real because now I know I can do it too.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just amazed at the number of people that don't cook have never cooked.
Most people don't.
They are completely oblivious. There's so many people out there. Yeah. I mean, just not even getting to
the don't have home ec anymore.
What?
I don't know.
What?
They're really doing away with home ec out of schools.
Oh my gosh. It's just amazing the number of people that don't even understand the concept of preparing a meal.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And at the other, getting back to the attraction, like what you attract. And I think, you know, if you're feeling, if you're thinking and you're radiating the energy of, oh, people don't want to know this. People can't understand it. People, then that's the kind of people you're going to attract. But if you're radiating the people who want to really be empowered to take charge of their health and I'm like, people really want that. A subset, not everybody, subset of people really want that. That's what I'm going to attract. And more we're attracting those people into our programs. And I'm like, holy cow. And it's almost to the point, like, what did I ask for? Now I got the most complicated people ever because they're like, they've tried all this stuff and they're, ah, give me somebody who's a truck driver who's eating Cheetos. I want one of those to really have an easy job of it. But yeah, so I think it's really believing that they want the best for themselves. And if that's what you want, that's what you want to attract. You want to attract those intuitives if that's what you are, right? You want to attract people who right, believe in their self-healing and want to go. And yeah, thank you. Anything else? We've got a long time. We've got two hours. Okay. Michelle gave the thing. Let's see, Tony. Happy, we're in our community, Michelle. Yes, bedtime. Yes, it's on the East Coast for you. It's bedtime for everybody now. All right. Bye, everybody. Let's see who's still here. Let me put this down. I'll get rid of the chat. There wasn't anything in the chat I needed to respond to. So Janet's still here. Lynn Rose and Marcy's still here. Susan, I didn't even see you there, Susan D. Susan D from Boston and Susan L from Austin. So if anybody wants, and Tony's still here, just get on, just open up your camera so we can all see each other and wave goodbye. Cause what I really like about having the Zoom calls is feeling that feeling of sense of community. And I understand it's late and you might be in your pajamas and all that. We don't care. I've done these I did once in my bathing suit once. It's like, oops, I'm running out of time. I'll just come in here in my bathing suit. Yeah. All right. Unmute everybody. Let's see. Unmute all. All right. Is this good for everybody? Did you learn something? Anybody learn anything? Anybody not learn anything?
Yeah. Always.
Good.
All right. Well, you guys have a great rest of the evening. Some of you will see tomorrow and some of you I won't. I'm off to San Diego on Friday to teach at the Plant-Based Medicine Society. They supposedly have 900 nutrition-oriented plant-based docs and docs to be, or docs that are want to be going down that path. Learning how to use food as medicine. So I'm excited and I get to speak there on Sunday. So send me good vibes.
Yay.
And I'm home on Tuesday and then I'm gone again down to see a lot of you in Austin at Laura Fine's thing. So I'll see Valerie. Yeah, I'll see Lynn Rose. I'll see Janet and Lynn. And who else is on here that I'll see? Nobody? Yeah.
Tony.
Oh, Tony's coming? Yeah. Hey! You're coming? Oh, she's gone. That's cool. I want to talk. I want
to see. Valerie? You said Valerie?
Valerie, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. We'll let you know how it is. I'm excited about it. Yeah. Yeah, very excited. And we'll be starting the whole program again in January. So those of you who missed pieces of it, all right, everybody. Much love. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Talk soon.